From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back. This is the show about the stuff they don't want you to know. My name is Matt.
Hi, I'm Ben.
I don't know why I did it that way.
I thought it was pretty good. Did I mess up your flow?
No. The flow was great.
Yeah, I thought you were killing it.
You know, I was telling you this earlier, Ben. I've been listening to way too much Yasiin Bey.
Just get it out of your system. Just do it.
Man. I'm not gonna do it because I would butcher anything that man.
No, just
says.
Do the one part.
No. Because a lot of it I can't even quote. A lot of the music and the rap that I've been listening to lately, thanks to you, sir, I can't quote anything. And I can't listen to it loud the way I want to in my car.
Peace.
That's the best one. That I can say that.
I stole your thunder. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, so anyway, today we are talking about NGOs.
Yes, non-governmental organizations.
And front companies. Now, front companies, this is a subject that we've tackled before via video, mm-hmm. and it's something that happens front companies happen all the time.
Yeah.
And they're designed so that you would never know. That's the whole point of them. And really, if you look around, you're probably looking at one right now somewhere. There's mm-hmm. one, there's a sign somewhere in your vision that may be a front company for something.
Right. And it's important for us to point out, of course, that not all front companies are illegal. This is a time-honored business practice. You know, quite a few corporations own multiple, finger-quote, competing mm-hmm. brands, from your local grocery store to your local car dealership. And the idea of this is that they can make money off either end of your decision.
Yeah, so, and they can also make money at various points in the process of, say, manufacturing a product
mm-hmm.
and then selling a product, or just if you think about the life cycle of something like a computer.
Right.
A massive corporation could own parts of the software, could own parts of the hardware, could own even parts of the user's experience that happens outside of either mm-hmm. of those.
And that's a really good point. That is often called, we're talking about horizontal vertical integration, right?
Sure.
Randolph Hearst owns the trees.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. And you should also remember that front companies come in all different sizes.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, a little bodega that, let's say, is a front company for, oh, I don't know, selling drugs. Then you could have.
Right.
Thank you, Dave Chappelle, for teaching me about that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you could have something like a non-governmental organization that functions all over the world that might be a front for an intelligence agency.
Right. And that's where we get to the heart of it. That's where we get to the stuff they don't want you to know about NGOs. So by our definition, a front company is a subsidiary or shell company that shields another company or entity from liability or scrutiny. One example I was thinking about this in the United States would be, a lot of people have a problem with the Koch brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Koch brothers own a boatload of companies. Because we're a family show, I'm saying boatload of companies.
I saw you in your head trying to decide which word.
I got close, yeah. But this, and I'm not saying one thing one way or the other about their outfit politically or morally, but I am saying that when you are a business of that level, there are also a lot of clever accountability and responsibility things you can get away with. In their case, a lot of it's probably taxation.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of something like an intelligence agency, we're talking more about being able to have plausible deniability. And this takes us to something that we were very interested in earlier when we did a video on Russia and NGOs, because the number one man in Russia, and there are polls that prove that,
mm-hmm.
Recently ruffled some international feathers, right?
That's right. He passed some laws requiring that foreign-based NGOs and foreign-sponsored NGOs register and submit themselves to this higher level of scrutiny that mm-hmm. they weren't subject to before, because he suspects that there are intelligence agencies working inside of them.
Oh.
Maybe just small little bits, like an agent here, an agent there.
Sure.
But, you know, he seems to think that he's got some pretty good evidence, or at least he truly believes it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had some comments on our video that came out about this last week, where one person in particular, I can't remember your name right now, but you said, why are you calling these pro-democracy? That's not cool. What I should have taken pains to do is say that that's how the West presents them. This was not an attempt by us to manipulate people. But that is how the West presents these groups. Oh, they're just idealistic students banding together for vague words.
Yeah, in the U.S., if you use that word democracy, it's one of those words that we've talked about in the previous episode mm-hmm. about perhaps thought. What is it?
A thought-terminating cliche.
Yeah. I mean, you just use that word democracy here in the West, and especially in the U.S., it's everything else around that word seems, oh, that's totally fine. That's good.
Yeah, it's like hitting base in the great tag game of rhetoric, you know, freedom, liberty, dignity, honor. I would say maybe with the exception of dignity, all three of those words are incredibly malleable, and they've been used to make a lot of strange things. I mean, let's not forget that the official name of North Korea is the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Yeah, the DPRK.
Right, yes. And before we get too far off topic, you know, thank you for writing in and telling us that, because we do want to clarify that. Also, one of the big questions is Vladimir Putin crazy? I mean, we're not going to say he's not an angel, but we do know that this question, this concern of his, mm-hmm. He's not the first to have it. And maybe it's not as crazy as it sounds. So that's the question for you. Have NGOs been used this way before as cover?
Yes. Yes, absolutely they have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back in the day, the CIA would secretly fund. Sometimes they'd create. Often they would even run supposedly private NGOs, and they'd make propaganda with these things. They would provide cover for agents and operations all over the place. One example would be the National Endowment for Democracy, or NED.
Ah, yes. Their website describes them as a private, non-profit foundation dedicated to the growth and strengthening of democratic institutions around the world. That sounds great.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah. But it turns out that this group came about in the wake of some dirty revelations about the CIA. Someone finally got into that dusty closet, survived to tell the tale, and we learned about attempted assassinations on heads of state, actions successful and unsuccessful at destabilizing foreign governments, illegal spying way before anybody knew about the level of spying that we would have today.
Yeah, way before there were concerns about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it led to the formation of the Select Committee to supervise the agency, the CIA. And the Select Committee on Intelligence's purpose was to oversee the federal intelligence stuff, like all of their activities.
Sure.
And while oversight and stability came in, it seemed to signal that the CIA, at least their party that they were having over there, assassinating people and all kinds
staging
of coups and
yeah.
plots that they were forming, it seems like it was over. It seemed that way.
Ah. But here's one of the problems with this. The idea of intervening in the affairs of a foreign government outside of declarations of war has always been very, very sticky. It's one of those rules that many governments seem to break, some more than others. But, you know, there's no secret that most countries, even allies, have a couple backup plans in case something goes wrong, and they always want to have more information, right? They want an asymmetrical information relationship, meaning they want to know more than even their friends know, and they don't want to tell other people. So spying is part of the game. So they didn't really stop spying.
No.
No, they started NGOs, like, as we said, the National Endowment for Democracy was meant to be, part of U.S. foreign policy from the jump. The guy who made it was named Alan Weinstein. He worked at Brown and Georgetown beforehand, the Washington Post, the Washington Quarterly, the Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies, and he also had some ties with Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger. In 1991, Matt, this guy says, a lot of what we do today was done covertly 25 years ago by the CIA. So he admits it.
Oh, geez. Well, there we go. We have a guy who ran one of these NGOs talking about it and admitting to it.
And, of course, we have to say, I feel like you and I both should point this out, we're not saying that all NGOs are bad. Just like we said in the video, it's such a large definition, right?
There are millions of them just in the U.S.
Right. So we're just talking about the ones that you could think of as the squeaky wheels. You could say that we're just talking about the bad ones, or you could say that we're just talking about the ones that got caught.
Yeah.
Both of those would be true.
Well, there you go. Thank you. Thank you for that caveat, Ben. I think we're safe. So there are a couple other places where NGOs were accused of being clandestine, like in Egypt, where these U.S. proxies in 2012 were basically looked at and said, they said, hey, there's some fishiness going on here.
Like who specifically?
Well, Salon, as in salon.com, specifically lists the Center for International Private Enterprise, CIPE, the International Republican Institute, and the National Democratic Institute. There's Democratic in there again.
Yeah.
And also the AFL-CIO's Free Trade Union Institute, which this one had a long history of working closely with the CIA.
Now, ladies and gentlemen listening to the show, you'll start to notice a pattern. A lot of these names are just vague, kind of dry sounding. How could you argue with them?
Yeah,
names.
positive sounding. Sure. Just really vague.
Yeah. You know, it would be like the Southwestern Association for Good Things, right? How would you disagree with that? Or the International Coalition for Fun Times, you know? I know I'm being a little bit cynical, but the thing of the matter is that there's so many institutions like this, not just think tanks, right? And we know that think tanks play an instrumental role in policy, especially in the West. But they're all around us, and in many ways, for the average person, at least here in the United States, these are unknown factors that are moving the world in ways we don't really imagine.
Yeah. And you can't see it most of the time.
No, it's like what ICP said about music. Do you remember that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, time and a place.
Is it magic or is that, how does it work? How do NGOs work? I don't know. It's magic.
Yeah, right. Now, I know we've also probably got some listeners who are saying, hey, guys, I volunteer with an NGO or I have worked with an NGO. I was in the Peace Corps, for instance, or something like that. And we are not at all saying that you were involved in some sort of skullduggery, nor are we saying that many of these organizations are inherently bad. The Peace Corps, actually, because of concerns about this, they have a pretty strong stance on anyone with military experience trying to join the Corps. They can't let it happen because if in any way their NGO is seen as a threat or a compromise or a tool of U.S. policy, then a lot of innocent people could die, frankly.
Well, yeah, and a lot of their good work that they do wouldn't be able to be done because they'd get kicked out of places probably.
So what do you think, though? So this is one of my favorite parts of the show. What do you think about Vladimir Putin's claim?
I don't think he's crazy. I think he's paying attention. I mean, you got to remember, every country does this. It's not just the U.S. putting people in NGOs and intelligence companies.
I'm sure he has done it during his decades with the KGB.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure he knows things. I'm sure there's intelligence that he has that you and I don't have. You know, and it's also this weird thing because just the fact that an intelligence agency works with an NGO doesn't mean it's bad because intelligence needs to be gathered by, you know, the good guys, whatever that means.
Right.
By the side that you know, that is represented by you. It's a great thing if you're country or your whatever it is that you live under is gathering intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep you safer, theoretically.
Theoretically.
But the bad thing is when it's abused.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a tough subject as well, or a tough thing to really think about. How do you abuse an intelligence agency?
Right.
Well, assassinations seems to be an abuse, right?
Yes. And I think that's well said. In their defense, because we do want to show both sides of this argument, the CIA, we found some quotations from their website regarding NGOs. They have a fairly extensive, thorough explanation of their stance, and one of their big concerns seems to be how they share information with NGOs and what sort of information they share.
All right, and here is that quote. Information sharing is part of a larger story of the rise of NGOs and their growing competence, of the need for reform of intelligence culture so that government analysts are rewarded for integrating all available source material into their work and engaging with non-governmental experts, and of globalization, where agile partnerships between formal state structures and civil society are constantly emerging. The need to share is recognized by government and NGOs. It already occurs in many places between professionals who have learned to cross this cultural divide.
Ah, there we go. That last sentence might be the most important there, Matt.
The cultural divide.
Right. It already occurs, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
It already occurs between professionals who have learned to cross the cultural divide. So what they're implying here, of course, is that the CIA and various NGOs have already worked together extensively, and that's understood. We also know that other intelligence agencies in other countries are doing this as well.
But what it really says to me is that the CIA isn't necessarily inside a lot of these NGOs, or at least the little tendrils of these NGOs.
Mm.
They're just gathering the information from the people who are maybe not officially CIA operatives or on the payroll.
Maybe just assets.
Yeah, they're sharing this information between that cultural divide, is what it seems.
Well, they could also be moonlighting. Let's remember that,
perhaps,
too. Because the best sort of covert intelligence operative is the one that nobody knows about, right? I know this sounds so paranoid and so much like Cold War mentality, but it is true that this stuff came from the Cold War, and it's also true that it still happens. So one of my concerns, or something I'd like people to think about after you listen to this show, is that when you hear about protests rising in countries, you know, the so-called Arab Spring, for instance, and when you hear about protests in Eastern Europe or other hotspots around the world, it's important to ask yourself, well, how did these come about? Where do these groups come from? Where do they derive their income? And, you know, even in the case of terrorist groups that have formed, like one thing that was really interesting about that ISIS video we did is when we found out that people had claimed they had their funding from robbing a central bank.
Yeah,
and then
the officials said, we're not really sure if that happened.
Right, yeah. So we have access to so much information now that it's very easy to get sort of overwhelmed. But ask yourself, the next time that you hear, Students' Union for a Better Republic of Democratic Freedom has started protests and the government is reacting violently, you know, an insert country here. Maybe look them up and see where they come from and who funds them and how long they've been around and what they want, you know?
Yeah. Look at leaflets. It's so interesting to look at the small groups organizing and say what you mentioned, the Arab Spring in Egypt. It's interesting when you look at the materials that were handed out.
And then also, remember when the Occupy protests were going on here in the United States, and you had hipped me to reports that there were people planted in the crowd who were trying to incite violence? Was that ever proven?
Agent provocateurs?
Yeah.
It's difficult to prove an agent provocateur.
Mm.
One thing that I have found through various studyings of video is look at the boots. Look at the shoes.
Yeah?
Yep. Because there are specifically issued shoes for police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you if you suspect an agent provocateur, look at the shoes.
That's so strange, though, because you would think that if someone were doing something like that, they would have also considered their outfit.
You would think. That the best evidence that I've seen, that's how you prove it, but not in a court of law. Just to, you know, the hearts and minds of people that want to believe that that was an agent provocateur.
So now it's time for us to hear what you guys think. We're really fascinated by this concept of these protest groups maybe not being quite what they seem, because it's something that, I don't know about you, but it reminds me of that propaganda book, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Fomenting dissent.
Yes, yes.
Against a certain thing, but then you can manipulate that dissent if you can steer the group.
Right, yeah, written by the father of public relations, who we seem to continually return to on this show. But enough about us. Let us know what you think about the idea of these foreign NGOs or even protest groups being something more than they appear to be.
Have you ever worked at an NGO? Tell us about it. Do you ever see anything weird, or maybe you can't tell us about it?
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear either way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We'd also love to hear any ideas you have for upcoming topics or episodes that we should cover. And, we should just take a moment, too, and say thank you so much for writing to us about the ghost story. We appreciate that.
We will hopefully be doing that more, right, Noel?
Mm-hmm.
Super producer Noel.
Giving a shout out to our super producer Noel. He just raised a hand in solidarity there.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Awesome.
Peace. All right. So on that note, we are heading out for the week. We hope you have a good one. If you are a fan of the internet, check out our stuff. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, where we are always posting things that don't always make it into our show. We just had some revelations about some long lost ships discovered in the Arctic and
possible identity of Jack the Ripper, although we're pretty skeptical.
Yeah, we're a little skeptical of that one. And then also everything that they're finding in Stonehenge.
Oh man, that is cool.
Yeah, this is probably old news by the time you hear this episode, but check out our Facebook for the latest things that you might not see on the mainstream news.
Oh, and one last thing I would like to say thank you from Ben and I to all of you. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, because as of this publishing, we should be at 200,000 subscribers. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know that might not be a big deal to a lot of people, but we are profoundly grateful, because just being a couple of guys on the internet, I didn't think either of us expected this.
I don't understand. We appreciate it, and it's amazing, and join us as we continue searching the void for those dark things they don't want you to know. You can email us. Use that old email. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. It's fine. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit testtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.